Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paoli Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by the Reverend Douglas Cornelius.
It is indeed good to be in worship together on this Palm Sunday. And over the course of Lent, we have been looking at whole bunch of texts where Jesus looked ahead. He looked ahead to his death and his resurrection. He looked ahead to Holy Week. And with this Sunday, we have arrived. On this Sunday, we remember that Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time in his earthly ministry, in his pre-resurrected ministry. And he has, in many senses, arrived to this incredibly important moment for him and for all of us. And so we pick up the story in Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. This is the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem. Hear the word of the Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, we are going to start this morning with a little quiz, okay? And your Jeopardy category is traditions. Traditions, okay? So you have that in your mind. I'm going to start a phrase, and if you're able, I'd like you to finish it, okay? I'll start the phrase, you finish it. Something old, something new. Well, you all did wonderful with that. Very good. Something borrowed, something blue. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. It's an old tradition based on a 19th century Victorian era English rhyme. The original actually included a fifth line in it: something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, and a sixpence in your shoe. The rhyme was meant to bring a woman luck on her wedding day. Something old to remind her of the past that she will still be linked to as she gets married. Something new, symbolizing the bright, optimistic future that awaits her in marriage. Something borrowed. Often at the time, it was borrowed from another woman who had been married for a very long time, and this borrowed item was meant to bring good luck and provide a lasting marriage for the new bride. And then something blue, which was a color that at the time was associated with warding off evil and bad tidings. And it was also a color that stood for love and faithfulness. Therefore, very fitting for a wedding. The sixpence, I suppose, was a little something to take into the marriage and get the couple started, a sixpence in your shoe. Well, we've lost many of those meanings these days, but many brides still practice this tradition, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And I always thought that was a little odd. It's a little odd, like with all the other things going on that day, do we really need to ask the bride to remember four more things? That doesn't feel right to me, you know? Like someone was thinking up this idea and they said, you know what the bride needs? Four more items to think about on her wedding day. Yes, you have hundreds of guests all taken care of. The seating chart is set. The caterer is doing their thing and the minister is here, but you still have to do hair and makeup, and two of the bridesmaids are running late, by the way, and grandpa is already drunk. But where's your something blue? I don't see anything blue. I guess we have to call off the wedding. No blue. What? These traditions, these items, they're of course unnecessary. It's a nice tradition, but you don't need to have something old, new, borrowed, or blue. You don't need any of that to just get married. You just need some love and a friend who's been ordained online. That's it. That's all you need these days. I'm joking. Jonathan and I are here for you if you need us. As I said in the introduction to this morning's passage, Jesus has finally arrived in Jerusalem. He's been pointing towards it for weeks in the text that we've read, for even longer with the disciples. He's been pointing towards it, and now he is here. And we pick up Mark's account as Jesus is making preparations to enter Jerusalem. He's making preparations to observe the Passover meal with the disciples, an event that we will think about this Thursday night at our Maundy Thursday service. But before we get to the jubilant and triumphal entry into the city, we are told of this slightly odd little exchange between Jesus and two of his disciples. He instructs them to go ahead to the next village and find a colt there, untie it, and bring it to him. And understanding that it may look like they're stealing it, Jesus says, if anyone questions you, tell them I need it and that I am going to bring it back. In other words, the Lord needs to borrow this colt. And this passage is a little odd for no other reason than its inclusion in the text and the length of space and time it's given in the story. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, but here Mark has decided to make it abundantly clear where that donkey came from and that Jesus didn't steal it, he just borrowed it. And this reminds me of the something borrowed on a bride's day. I mean, there's so much going on. Do we have to remember this one little thing? I mean, did Mark not have enough to write about in the coming week of Jesus' life? He's entering Jerusalem to hosannas and blessings, something that looks like a royal entrance. He then spends days visiting the temple. He'll even turn over tables at one point. He clashes with Jewish authorities. He curses a fig tree. He teaches. He washes feet. He has the Last Supper with his disciples. He prays. He's arrested. He's abandoned. He's denied. He's tortured. He's killed. He's buried. And that's all just before next Sunday. Why are we talking about a donkey? Why are we getting all this space devoted to the finding of a colt for Jesus to ride on? Well, we'll come back to that. I'm reminded in this story and in the stories to come that Jesus is the only one who could do what needed to be done. As the Son of God, as the spotless Lamb, as the one who was fully God and fully human, he alone could accomplish the atonement needed, the forgiveness of sin, the defeat of death, the reconciliation of a holy and loving God to his beloved creation. Christ alone could do this. For in him alone, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. But even though Jesus didn't need anyone or anything else to accomplish God's plan, to do what he was here to do, I kind of love that he invites some other people and some other things into that story. I kind of love that Jesus borrowed some things and some folks. A donkey. A young colt is tied up. It's never even been ridden. It's the least likely candidate to carry a king of kings into Jerusalem. And Jesus says, let me borrow that. That's what I want to borrow. When religious leaders put Jesus to the test, he says, let me borrow a coin. Does someone have a coin? I have something I want to teach you. I'll give it back. The women who followed Jesus, women who were looked down upon in that patriarchal society, and Jesus says, I'll borrow them. Because, by the way, they're the ones who are going to stick with me all the way to the cross while all the men flee. A cross that, as we just said, only Jesus can bear, a cross that only he can bear. And on top of the heavy weight of that wood is the even greater weight of the sins of the world and a passerby named Simon of Cyrene is borrowed to carry it for a little while, or at least carry the part of it that he could. Jesus can do all of this. He doesn't need anyone or anything to accomplish what he needs to accomplish, but everyone from the faithful to the broken to those persecuting him to a passerby to a donkey is brought into the story. They're brought in by a God who didn't need them, but who just wanted to borrow them. And I think the thing that I want us to think about this Holy Week as we enter this time, this all-important time for our faith and this incredibly important time in the life of Jesus, a question for you to think about this week. How might God be wanting to borrow you? In your life right now, what is the Lord calling you to do? What is the Spirit nudging your heart to do, to commit to? Let's be honest, the Lord can accomplish it with or without you. But maybe, like Jesus long ago entering Jerusalem, maybe the Lord wants to borrow you for a little while. Maybe he wants to write you into the story as a faithful believer who stepped up when it was needed, like those women long ago. Maybe God wants to write you in as a broken disciple who has failed but is forgiven and still has some great things in their future. Maybe the Lord wants to write you into the story as an unsure passerby or a random doubting religious type or some new character in some new way. Maybe the Lord wants to borrow you. So will we be willing? Will we be willing to be something borrowed for Jesus, to be included in the ongoing, unfolding story of what our God is up to in the world? Will we be willing? Because you see that little donkey long ago? It got to carry a king. A king of kings. It got to walk the path that God walked. That little donkey, as it approached Jerusalem, going down the Lord's path, it probably heard the hosannas. Faint at first, because the entrance of the city is still a little ways off, but then growing louder and louder until it entered the city and it was just filled with blessing. Hosanna, praise, Hosanna in the highest. Can you imagine? That little donkey got to hear all of this. You see, it's a privilege to be borrowed by Jesus. So what is the Lord calling you to do? Where is the Spirit nudging you? Are we ready, Paoli Presbyterian Church, to be part of God's story, to be something borrowed by our Lord? Because if we are, we might just get to carry a king for a little while. If we are, we might just get to walk the path that God walks. If we are willing. Well, I can hear the hosannas already. Amen.